year, episode 21, Ooh. Underground Espionage. Tara, how is it going?
It's great, Mike. Thank you for asking.
Hey.
I've had quite a week. Guess what I ate?
What?
Guess what I ate this week? Is my journey into fruit.
I mean, I know.
My journey.
I'm saying.
Yeah. I just want you to congratulate me.
Listeners.
I want you to congratulate me for eating a grapefruit.
Listeners, guess what we ate.
I ate a whole grapefruit. Well, I ate most of it. Mike had some bites of it.
Yeah. Grapefruit, it's such a strange one. Well, we've mentioned we got into passion fruit last week, right? Did we?
I don't know if we mentioned our foray into the land of fruits, but we did get a passion fruit.
We were very into passion fruit.
We ate a yellow nectarine. We ate a white nectarine.
But I think passion fruit is the winner this year.
Yes. And it's, but like, I'm kind of seeing this, like, my foray into the world of fruit as, like, it's kind of like a DIY because you have to really pick the right time to eat it. You can't just like grab some fruit and eat it is what I'm discovering. And that's probably why I never ate fruit before.
Because it would always, you'd get a great one and then it would let you down.
You get a mealy one and you get a hard one with no flavor that breaks your teeth.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking to you, stone fruit. But like, or you get berries and then they're gone the next. It's just the whole thing. And you know, like, I'm also like, there's never a good time for fruit. I don't know that I say this because like, if you're hungry, you don't want fruit. It doesn't like fill you up. So what are you going to do? Like get hungry and eat a grapefruit? Yeah. Then you're like absolutely like starving and it's like empty sugar.
You know, I'm a big fan of the fruit in my morning cereal. I like to switch it up, but
fruit in my oatmeal,
passion fruit.
God, it's good.
So
it's great
good.
On everything. It's so good. And I love the little crunchy things. And like, you know, I just was like, I was at the store and somebody else was like, do you have passion fruit? And the person's like, yeah, I'll bring it from the back. And I'm like, hey, hit me with two of those while you got them. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And they were really smooth and hard. So I had to like Google how to like what to do with them and wait until they're wrinkly. And we were just waiting on these little fuckers. But damn, they're like crunchy and sour and delicious. I want them on everything. We
and
had
it
them on
is
vanilla
strange.
Yogurt,
you know, I do think about
yogurt.
This kind of stuff. Is like,
watering.
So you have to wait. So it's like a smooth round thing, but you have to wait until it gets... Till it like wrinkles up.
Yeah.
So who realized that?
Right? I know.
Who figured that out? Right?
You know what? People that didn't have as many options with what they ate as we, sir, that is what happened. You know?
Well, big
fan. They couldn't just grab a meat stick, which is my preferred snack.
Hey, big fan of meat sticks. Big fan, Tara, of the summer that we're having. Now
all
known
the bounties
as
of the earth that I've been bringing you.
Well, it's a fruit summer, but it's also, of course, an anal summer.
Oh, yeah, it is an anal summer. That's right.
Low stock. So if you haven't picked that up directly from Initiation Services, go ahead and do that. Canadians, Scream and Writhe will have those soon. And Europeans, Sata Tuhata,
yeah.
If I've said that right, we'll have those soon. So don't worry about that. If you're European, Canadian, go ahead and grab from those places.
I hope everybody's relaxing, dilating, lubricating.
We are nearly out. And, of course, Richard will have copies, yes. And we'll have them up, I'm sure, on his site soon as well. But don't be sleeping. If you're not having an anal summer, what kind of summer are you having? Are you having an oral summer? I mean, last
oh,
week we
yeah,
talked
we
about
did
an
oral
have an summer. Oral
summer. Yeah, that's acceptable, too.
But anal summer, and I know people are starting to get their copies, so look out for those if you've ordered. Should be landing soon.
I think I'm going to get a coconut.
Nice.
I'll see what that's all about.
Some great stuff. Put that down. We're not diving
in. Oh, I don't know. I just wanted
something
to do with
soon.
My hands. I was looking at
we got our
summer.
Preamble. We yeah. got boy, what a great recent hospital.
Oh my
update.
Goodness.
We've
yes.
been it got us in a big molest zone because
yep.
they're the new molest tape on hospitals incredible. So we went back and been listening to a bunch of the recent releases he's done in the past year or two. You know how much we love Molest over here
in the land of Molest for
and
the
just
last
do really
days.
Do enjoy the new stuff you know the more the modern eras. Obviously, of course, we love the original era, but just he just such a strange atmosphere that it puts out so immediately you know what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. Which is always great, you know, you're just immediately Molest.
Yeah,
we're in the zone.
I like the track with the kind of squeaky, almost rodent-like sounds
you
today.
Were, yeah, today I'm, you know, I'm like one it. Of the newer ones we were listening to, and as you were discussing rats, you're like, oh, it sounds like rats.
Yeah, I'm in a real rat of a week.
The Pinkest Flamingo has been on repeat a lot. Of course, that name is just so crazy.
It's fantastic.
Jim Rose always pulling out something new and something great. So obviously make sure to go check that stuff out. And Tara, speaking of rats and just, you know, who's never not sick of these fucking people? But I'm fucking sick of fucking backstabbing fucking pussies who like,
yeah.
You know what Morrissey said? You fight with your right hand and caress with your left hand.
Yeah.
Everyone I know is sick to death of you.
Yeah.
What is it?
What is the mentality
of somebody who is a backstabbing pussy? Like, I think they lie to themselves a lot. Do you think that's what it is?
I think they have to like reframe their reality frequently to justify what they're doing. You know, and it's yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's so funny. I was listening to the radio while driving. And
crazy.
I know. It was insane. And some people were talking about masturbation. And, you know, I thought, and the reason I kept it on is because it's kind of like, right, like whether or not porn is bad, right? And then they were just saying, like, it leads to you following your lower self and not your higher self. And that's why it's bad. And I'm just like, what a weird way to put it.
Totally.
Like, you know what I mean? And just like what you were discussing with people being able to justify, like, the debate as to whether or not one is their lower self and their higher self. And I'm like, why is it that now it's like everybody has kind of frames it like being your higher self is being this asexual person who just takes all their belongings and gives them to everybody else. And totally sacrifices themselves for others, where your lower self just does something only for yourself and yeah. fuck everybody else. It's like, I don't want to be either one of those. Can I be somewhere in the middle? Can I be, you know, respectful of myself's needs and those immediately around me, while at the same time not like sacrificing the comfort and love of others? Like, can we do something in the middle? You know what I mean?
I mean, like,
isn't that the goal?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're saying your higher self is you're basically supposed to be an asexual communist.
Yes.
And your lower self is
this
more like this kind of heathen, selfish, self-centered,
stealing and fucking everywhere.
But
so
I
like why can't there be kind of like a?
But I think and
balance.
I agree, again,
I'm yin yang that I'm looking for here.
Again, obviously, if you've listened to a single episode, you know how pro-pornography we are, obviously.
Exactly.
So I don't really get this. There's this, you know, wave of this sort of anti-porn coming from everywhere. It's not, from this side, from this side, from all sides. And for me, you know, I don't think that jerking off is giving in to sort of any sort of lower self. I think it's like, dude, there's much like
you're saying it's focusing your thoughts is what you're saying.
I think so. And I think it also brings creativity, especially into sexual situations. I think it gets ideas going. I think it gets ideas flowing.
Well, as a creative person, I would think that you want to engage in acts of fantasy because that's part of the creative process.
Absolutely it is.
But I think it's like any other vice that somebody's – I mean, you know, it was said like, you know, if you are – you can't be a slave to your vices. So if you are engaging in porn, you're not free because you're always chained to your vices. And I'm like – well, what person is ever without a vice? Because you can relabel anything as a vice. So it's like, just like anything else, pornography or alcohol or any other substance, like if you don't use it in a moderate way, it can really inflict damage on your life. But if it's done in a way that's not damaging you and that you're not even, I'm not even saying functional, I'm just saying in a way that you're not like totally obsessed with it. Just like people who get obsessed with exercise or people who get obsessed with weight loss or people who get obsessed with buying really expensive watches. You know what I mean? Or it's just like, or people buying things they can't afford and buying things. That's also like a new modern thing, is like purchasing shit on the internet and then immediately returning it because they want the high of buying something. It's like, I think anything comes at a cost if you don't balance your personal needs and the needs of those around you with the price you're paying.
Yeah, and I think the whole no fap, you know, no jerking off thing. The idea that it gives you some sort of like
superpower,
that I don't go with, right? Well, yeah. I think that's ridiculous. But the only argument for that I ever see is that if you're using it to like not bang your chick, or if you're using it to go out and meet some chicks to bang, then okay, you gotta like maybe it'll help you like get that motivation. But otherwise,
I think that's the thing.
To me, it just gives me motivation. I get motivated to like, hey, Tara, I got a new idea.
Oh well, I think that idea is more like, don't become complacent in life, and
that's for anything.
And don't distract yourself from what you really want by becoming too attached to your cope.
Yeah.
But I think that it's for everything. Like staying at home and watching things, or looking at social media instead of having real friends.
Yeah,
you know,
all that
mean?
Kind of stuff.
Like,
yeah, of course. So it's
like,
just like.
But I think that's the broader thing. The broader idea is just being a participant in your life and moving towards things you want, and not like sedating yourself to the point that you aren't active in your own life.
That you aren't
trapped by vice. And like, I understand like early arguments against pornography if people were being forced to do it against their will, if they're being drugged, if they're being exploited. Like, well, I don't want people to be drugged and exploited. But you don't like that either. You don't think it's hot. Like, I mean,
no. I mean, I've never been
somebody doing something against their will, somebody not being an eager and willing participant hot. It's bad. So like the thought, even if I'm watching anything and I think that the person is not into it, doesn't want to be there, I immediately have lost all interest.
It's not part of my kink,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who have been like, okay, I did the cost benefit analysis. I'm aware of what I'm doing. I will be paid at this rate. These will be the repercussions for my decisions, and I choose to do this or I choose not to do this.
Yeah,
but that's kind of what we're
looking for.
But I think that's always been the argument, is that people...
I support getting in over your head. I just think that, you know, obviously the main thing is like you do something that you regret. It was not an illegal thing that happened. You know what I mean? Like, but getting in over your head is like, you know, that can be fun sometimes, you know?
Exactly. Like, you know, then you know where you stand.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you do something and you're like, well, that wasn't for me. I know where I stand with that thing now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I mean, I guess if I was going to have some gripe with modern pornography, it'd be that people don't get paid for it in the same way, because like once it's downloaded, it's like goes on Pornhub. It's not like people are getting residuals or nobody's buying the physical copy, and that sucks
for me.
Just like with
music, just like with the underground, like my main I wish all these chicks would be getting dough like they used to, just because like they're putting it out there, they're like, it's a lot of work, and like, you know, it's not nearly what it was.
Chicks and dudes
back in, sure, yeah, absolutely,
yeah, chicks and dudes. all the people involved, we want them to get the dough.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like, it's nothing like it was back in the day, and especially in the 90s and the early 2000s, when home video was going crazy and you were making just like good dough. And it's like, you know, I mean, obviously there's ways to do it, and you figure out new ways, just like you have to do with music. But it's also, it just is so different for everybody. I mean, look, dude, everybody in any creative field, whether or not it's porn, whether or not it's music, whether or not it's noise, underground,
visual arts,
we're all figuring out these different ways. Everything is totally fucking wiped out. Everyone has to, you know, every big label is pressing half of what you think they're fucking pressing, or probably even less.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually at a record plant this week and talking with the guy, and, you know, he's just like, yeah, dude, it's it's everything's just different right now. He's like, in some ways, it's the biggest. It's ever, like, that's the that's what's confusing, especially with stuff like vinyl. Is like, in some ways, it's the biggest it's been
because
in a long
it's so
time.
Backed up.
But then in
and
some
they,
ways,
can't keep on top.
It's,
yeah.
I think the golden era of that crazy vinyl pressing. Yeah, I mean, especially during everything when everyone had free money and was pressing shit left
yeah,
and right.
Yeah, no kidding.
Was one thing, but even just right before that, mid 2010s, when like the Record Store Day bullshit was going and like people were just pressing so much, and it was just going crazy. Now we're at this strange point where, you know, really, unless it's a guaranteed reissue, you know, of something that's, you know, probably going to sell X amount, putting out a new thing is so hit or you never, it's just like, it could go, it could not go.
Yeah. And even the flood of like, just everybody trying to figure out what they want to do, in terms of consumption.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I think for a minute, everybody was like, yay, live shows. I want to go to live shows. And they were immediately like,
I
actually don't want to do that
from
shit.
A live show this last week. I'll
did.
Tell you that.
Oh my God. That's right. I feel like it's been like, hi
it has
everybody.
Been, it is Saturday.
Thank you for being here with us. You wonderful people who are tuning into Initiation Services. We really appreciate
to Initiation
you.
Services.
Oh my God. Damn it.
You
I
sure
was
are, but
it.
You know what? You are.
I know what you are. We are Initiation Services. Fucking underground espionage. Yeah. I apologize. Why? You know, why this sudden interest in fruit? Why such a late broadcast today? Well, the mister over here had the flu, like the straight up flu.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
What the fuck else do you call it other than the flu? Well, it wasn't necessarily a cold. You had a fever.
Yeah,
you,
but I could eat and I wasn't nauseated.
Well,
but I had a fever.
You know, you felt sick every time you ate.
That's true.
Are you memory holing yourself? I think you were so delirious you don't remember.
It was awful. This
every
happened
time
to,
you ate, you got sick.
This happened to me in October. That went longer. This is like definitely, you know, fizzled out. But yes, today is Saturday that we are putting this out late in the day. But as we've said, we're always going to be weekly, but it just might be a different day. So we've shot that out there. I absolutely blame the 5-star bar.
you should, and well, you should. And I'm so glad I didn't go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't go. I wasn't being a bitch about
it. Hey, shout out to the 5-star bar. I'm sure you're great people. I'm sure you're wonderful. But no, thank you. Look, I've been obviously very critical about live shows for a long time now, at least for the past year or two. And this was no exception. Hey, it was great seeing Jim Harris. I love Deterge.
Love him.
Deterge was great. Yeah. So this is not, you know, this is obviously not an indictment of Jim Harris. He's wonderful, and I love Deterge and all his projects. Detergent, Laureate.
I mean, we all know how I feel about Detergent.
Big fan. But yes, I blame that venue.
I too blame that venue.
Yeah. And... actually, in fact, a friend of ours the night before said he stepped into human shit at that venue. So I was already on edge.
Always frustrating.
So, yeah, I've been in a very strange zone this week. Again, listening to a lot of great stuff, so that's been cool.
Mm-hmm.
Watching some great stuff, that's been cool. Reading, I'm reading Lolita right now. I'm absolutely loving it. It's absolutely
isn't
fantastic.
That so good?
So that's been really good. Finished up a few other things. Finished up the...
I'm reading Hive, but I just finished...
Fantastic! I didn't even... So, yeah, great new book called Hive. I read it, and Tara's reading it. I'm sure we'll talk about it when you're done reading it. If you want to say the author, I'm not going to try. I think, Tara, you'd be better at saying the author's name, because Garen, good luck.
And I think Garen Hovansian.
That sounds pretty good. It's probably a bit wrong, but
there might be another syllable in there that I missed.
Really, really great.
And I also just finished Chrome Yellow, which was great. And it's a very, very different read.
Yeah.
Reading a stilted UK, you know, like post-Victorian novel that's just like... people at leisure in their villa, and also it's hilarious. So Adolphus Huxley, it's great.
And you like found that book, right?
Yeah, I found it, and I felt like
Was it in a lost and found, or was it just sitting somewhere?
No, just sitting on a table. Found it sitting on a table.
So awesome.
And it was weird. There was no one around, and I was generally able, and it was outdoors. And I'm a big fan of taking things to lost and found. If I find money, if I find anything, I'm good for it. Once I found $800 and took it to a lost and found, I will do that. But I just felt that this was left there intentionally for me, so I took it, and I read it, and it was great, and it got me through a bad mood and gave me lots of smiles. So I really enjoyed Cromwell.
Well, that's the thing, is I think this year, and especially this summer, there's been, it's just very strange, I think, mentally for a lot of people, people in the underground, people in doing creative stuff, have, everyone's in this very odd place. And I know we've talked a little bit about this, but I've never, so many times when I work on stuff, you know, a lot of people say, like, I work on this to work through something.
Yes.
It's rare that I don't find that that is what motivates me a lot of times. Yeah. If I'm in a bad space, I'm generally not, it's sort of hard for me actually to.
I agree with that.
But in a strange space this year, I actually have been, I've consciously been like, no, I'm going to fight against it by either doing this, watching something, reading something, et cetera. And it's actually been working really well. And so have recorded so much this year, worked on so much this year. And yeah, like you said, just been in a good zone, watching great stuff, reading great stuff. So I just find that you gotta note that if you're in a weird space, note it, take a note of it, and just fucking be like, nope, I'm not letting that fucking take over.
Yeah, well,
you know?
And I think it's finding the way to push through it, because so many times creating something can get you to kind of reframe where you are. You know what I mean? Like sometimes, like, especially when it's your, like, we're navigating a world, just like when I was talking about with shows are back, these things are back. So like everybody's excited, but we're now navigating a world where there's less funding in artistic endeavors, right? Like the people who purchase things are less likely to purchase individual things.
We mean individual funding, not like grants.
Yeah,
you know, that's
yeah.
Not our
I just
world.
Mean like the
people buying stuff.
People buying stuff.
I care about the people who are doing it themselves, just like we've always done, and never asked for.
Yeah, we're not going to like giant gallery installations.
Never asked for a fucking thing from anybody, other than people who just wanted support directly.
Yes.
And that's, again, we're always here. There's always people who are here to support the underground. We're always support the underground.
Of course.
But it just is in a strange place.
Yeah. And that's, you know, what I think that we're all dealing with now is what it's going to look like. You know what I mean? How do we want to approach shows? What shows do we want to go to? How we approach releases? How we talk about releases? You know what I mean? Like, just kind of trying to see, like, what the direction everything's going in. Because truly, you know, there has been a pivot point, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we all know that just like every other point in every other age of the world, right? Just like in time, it's constantly evolving. So to say that like things changed more for us than they did for other people, it's like, I don't know, my grandma had computers happen. So like I'm not saying that it's changing more or less. I'm just saying that I want to hit my mic a bunch. But that it's just we're all adapting to this change that's happening.
Well, and I think for me, shows, and as I've said so many times, I just want to see curation. I want to see something special. I want to see an event. I want to see an idea, something that
a purpose
that makes this. Why are we here? Because, you know, for me, it's just like being a special. It shows you're just like, okay, I'm sitting here. What is the overall? Why are we doing this? You know, is it a social thing? Is it to actually experience the set? Is it to experience the set in this group setting that can be so powerful? Again, obviously, as we've talked about 8 million times, you know, the Japan Fest. I mean, it's like the power of all of us being there, watching Genocide Oregon, watching, you know, Grey Wolves do one song, watching Masana, you know, that the power of what that was, Departure Chandelier, mm-hmm. that to me is what it's all about. And yeah. And it's
and
when you're
seeing that it's rare
and that it's rare and that you're completely enveloped. The video, the people, the atmosphere, the journey that everyone mm-hmm. took yeah. to get to Osaka, and everyone in that building made this sacrifice, and they and knowing that every single person next to you, you know, in some way, shape, or form, whether or not they came from the U.S., whether or not they came from Europe, whether or not they came from Tokyo, whatever,
yeah,
everyone has made this journey, made this effort, and we're all here in this place. No one else in the world, as big as it was, you know, comparatively to the world, yeah. you know, it's the underground. And we're like all here in this place, experience this thing together. And it is, that's true magic, right? Yeah. And that's true. That's where these things are important. And that's what I want to see for a show, an underground show. Mm-hmm. Yes. When we go see a band, we were supposed to go see The Church tonight. Yeah, okay, I just want to go see a band play the songs I want to see. That's different.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about is shows, when we're saying shows, we mean obviously noise and underground shows.
We're not talking Ticketmaster shows.
Exactly, that's
Ticketmaster
different.
Ticketmaster shows are
you
want to
go see the
shows.
Band you want to see play the songs you want to hear.
Yeah, and, you know, there's this thing that I find increasingly dreary is that when people... especially creative people, especially people in the underground, really want to like pinhole themselves into like one thing. Like why can't a noise show and a metal show be together? Why can't a genre be with a genre?
Yeah,
like
the
everybody's
mix, the mix.
Like
we
you're
love
all
the mix.
You're all weirdos. Like yeah. none of you are thinking in
I hate when
in one select style. Like why give
yourself I hate
yourself,
when it's Puritan, right?
Yeah.
When it is like
why
no,
give
I
bumpers
only
on
like.
It?
Industrial yeah. power electronics, and I need a guy behind a table, you know, yelling into a microphone. That's the only thing I want, and yeah. that's what I want, period. And I want
no
10
drums
of that, and like
it's
all
like,
that
no
kind of
drums,
shit.
You know this, like
it's
stop
like,
with
no,
all
dude.
The rules.
Like it's I want yeah. the atmosphere, I want the vibe, and I want to see a black metal band and a noise thing and an ambient thing and a techno thing, and I love the
yeah,
mix,
and
you know
and it's
mean?
Like guess what, like. It's just like, I'm going to bring, you know what? I'm going to get weird and bring it back to cheese. It's just like
it.
Cheese because like people say like, I don't like blue cheese. I don't like this. It's like you, of course you don't like it because you've only had shitty blue cheese that somebody threw on top of a burger. You've only had like crap off a salad bar at Wendy's or whatever. You know what I mean? Like if you have
miss
like,
that Wendy's salad
oh
bar.
Man, with the fucking potato bar, that was my shit. But if you have like, a beautiful artisanal blue cheese that's like wrapped in macerated, you know, sycamore leaves that have been soaked in a brandy. You're going to like it. You know what I mean? Something like melted and broiled with bruschetta, like stuffed into a fig or a date and then, you know, put like a lovely compote on top. Like you're going to like it. It's just the thing is you've only had the shitty version. So it's like, I think with any genre, like, you can appreciate.
Yeah, you've only had the shitty version.
You've only had
yeah,
the
yeah,
shitty
yeah, yeah.
version. That's why you don't like it. So it's like, you know, maybe I don't go to friggin' places where a string quartet plays. But if I go to a place where a really good string quartet's playing, I'm probably going to like it. You know what I mean? If you see shitty noise and then you go see an amazing Masana performance, you're going to be like, fuck, that was great.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, don't, you have to compare apples to apples. Like, yeah. just don't think because like, it's only been the shitty version of something that you don't like that whole genre. It's like, no, if you see a good one, you're going to like it.
Yeah.
Just like metal. Like I hadn't seen anything that I liked yet until I saw it. And then I was like, fuck, I love this. You know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's the same with, I think a lot of things and especially like artistic endeavors, like.
No, 100%, 100%.
If it's good, you're going to like it.
I'm so
and some things are just undeniably well executed.
Curation, exciting events that are shooting and achieve something higher. And that's what I'm looking for. And hey,
yeah.
If you haven't gotten your ticket for Hospital Fest New York, get it.
Yeah. And if you're doing something just like, you know, let's all shoot to be a little transcendental where somebody can't deny it. They can be like, oh, I don't know what the fuck that was, but at least I was entertained.
And if you're a backstabbing pussy, go hovel away to your hovel. Hovel away? I just invented that.
Hobble away.
Go hobble away to your hovel and
crawl back into the trash can you came out of
and just
shut the lid.
Shut the lid and you are
go
gone.
Grump out your week. Go you know, call people out and bitch alone in your little trash can. Go shit post on the internet. Have a good time, you fucking troll. Otherwise, let the real humans lead their fucking lives.
But hey speaking
wait,
of go.
Speaking of, I have the story and I've been wanting to talk to you.
Oh,
Mike,
I was gonna
and
ask
it
you
absolutely
that. I hope
directly
everyone's, I hope
pertains.
Everyone's with us.
I hope you stayed with us. I'm so sorry. I love you.
Sorry, we're
here.
I'm having we're
underground
having a,
espionage.
We're having a great talk here. I'm enjoying.
Look, I mean, I think this is right up kind of like what we were talking about, and it kind of like wove into this. I'll just read you a headline: Thai woman arrested for blackmailing monks with thousands of videos after sex.
Yeah.
Have you read this yet?
No. Because Terry, you mentioned it to me that you were going to bring it up on the episode.
Well, I did, but I wasn't going to if you had already read about it because I've been dying
to
talk to
you
about it.
So then you were just like, I'm not going to tell you about it. And so I didn't.
About the story.
I didn't look it up so that you could talk to me about it.
Okay. Here. Well, this lady who is being called Miss Golf, by the way, her name is that the name that they refer to as Miss Golf, has been sleeping with Buddhist monks in Thailand. One of them, she claimed to have become pregnant with his child and demanded millions of dollars. But she has thousands of sex tapes of herself fucking Buddhist monks and has been slowly blackmailing them over the course of years, Mike. And
so
she is
wild.
Finally being prosecuted. But the crazy thing is that it's like, ow, I'm just going to hit the mic the most. I'm a terrible person. What am I supposed to say? My lower self just hit this mic.
Oh my God.
Or was it my higher self?
You know what?
Fuck.
Yeah.
So sorry, I yelled that. But the fun thing about this whole story is that, Mike, would you be like, well, how the hell could this woman extort millions of dollars out of Buddhist monks? Don't they kind of like reject like material possessions and property? Wouldn't you kind of like think that, Mike, about Buddhist monks? Like, but apparently,
they like to fuck.
Well, they're not supposed to like to fuck, but apparently they get a lot of money.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. They get a lot of donations.
Always focusing on the fucking.
And the monks will privately acquire it and kind of go around with it. Lavish trips, millions of dollars. There was a recent Buddhist monk like temple where every single member of the temple was arrested for drug smuggling charges and the temple was left empty. So it's kind of like uncovering this like strange corruption within the Buddhist temples of Thailand. Of drugs and sucking and fucking.
I mean, that's all anyone ever thinks when they think of Thailand.
Jet-setting monks. Do you think of jet-setting
monks?
No,
all you ever think of is, like, drugs and sex.
Yeah, but you don't think of it in the monks.
Hey, man, they're thinking of it too, apparently. It's like the monks have this, it's like, you know, just
fraud
like
and
Sleazy
money
had his
laundering.
Idea to go to Thailand, and so did the monks.
That's why Sleazy went. Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, that's what you assume when people would go to Thailand.
I mean,
they're
if you
get,
ever,
like, suits
anyone
made,
who says they're going to Thailand,
drugs.
Have you ever been like, oh, you're just going for the, like, scenery? No
you're
one ever thinks
see
that.
The temples.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's some really cool, like,
oh, no, it's
historical
amazing.
Archaeological sites.
Hey, guess what?
I'd go.
I'd love to go to Thailand. Tara and I would like to go to Thailand. Go ahead and think about whatever you want to think about now.
Well, now I'm going to a bunch of temples, I'll tell you that. Anyway, you know, they're kind of deciding how they're going to deal with this. The Supreme Sangha Council doesn't know if they're going to, like, go on to a big, as they call it, chopping off arms and legs within the system. However, I just thought it was really interesting. Everybody keep up on it, read about it. There's lots of salacious tales within the story. I don't want to take up too much more time. But again, in terms of talking about backstabbing bitches, talking about that sort of thing, it's another prime example. If you want to be disappointed in humanity or excited by humanity, I don't know. This one's kind of a mix of both.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of down with the monks banging. Good for them.
Yeah, but okay, look, but
do you like that I've just ignored everything else you said? All I'm thinking about is these
this
monks
is the monks
banging.
Getting to bang. Look, I don't. I'm not saying monks shouldn't bang. I'm just saying, like, much like, you know, when it was like Catholic priests and everything else, like I'm saying, like,
no,
if you're presenting yourself as somebody and being like, no one else should bang out of marriage, like, you're gonna go to hell, like, saying that all of these things are sinful and that you shouldn't do it, and then you're secretly participating in it while saying you're not, and just being a complete hypocrite and misrepresenting yourself and being like, you're being your lower self when you bang people, and then just secretly inside being like, it's okay for me though. Like that idea.
Yeah.
Now that's what I don't like, Mike. I don't like the hypocrisy of it. It's like, if you're a monk that's banging, that's fine, but just be like, I'm a monk that's banging. Don't let some lady extort you for millions of dollars because you ain't supposed to be banging her.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying people have to go out and disclose who they're fucking. Like, I don't believe that either. I'm just saying you don't have to say anything about it, and then you're good. You make no claims.
Hey, I think that's the way to
do it. One way or the other.
I think that's
it's
the way
fine.
To do it.
If you don't know and you change your mind frequently, just be like, shit, I don't know. There's lots of things where I don't know how I feel about it because the world is a complicated place.
Well, speaking of strange examples of genres, we have one lined up here that, you know, under the term giallo in the newest Forgotten Gialli box, volume 8, obviously all mandatory. Thank you, Vinegar Syndrome, for all of these. We have a very trashy movie,
mm-hmm.
a very loose giallo. I mean, it's a giallo, I guess. It's a murder mystery, I guess. But as Tara so wonderfully put it, and I glanced at your notes because you said it when you said, it's less of a mystery of a killer and more of a mystery of who our girl is going to bang next.
That's true.
And Tara, what movie?
Who's going to blast and who's going to get blasted?
What movie are we talking about?
AAA, masseuse, good looking, offers her services. An Italian AAA, massaggiatrice bella presenza offresi.
Fantastic. And this is a... You know, the Forgotten Gialli...
Una bella ragazza come una faccia di una Madonna.
Listen to that. I love it. In the Forgotten Gialli sets, you know, it does range from some that have been released, some people have heard of, some a little, you know, bigger than others, and then some totally off the beaten path, very obscure. This goes under the very obscure. I've never heard of this movie. It has never been released outside of Italy, and this is the first time it's ever been subtitled. And it's on Blu-ray. It looks great. So to me, and I mean, maybe there's some giallo experts out there who are like, oh, come on, you've never heard of that?
It's a classic.
Never heard of it. Never saw it. And when we were deciding what to do for this episode, Tara's looking around, looking at some of our
new stuff. You were still very feverish.
I needed you to pick.
Yeah. It's true. You need me to pick. You didn't want anything too complicated.
You saw this. You saw the name.
Looking for a casual encounter.
You pulled it out, and it was a great casual encounter. And I'm excited that we watched this movie.
Yeah, me too. I mean, this is 1978.
So definitely like in a, you know, the height of the giallo is definitely gone. But it's one of those things where probably more came out. You know what I mean? Yeah. When it's like things hit the height and then things start to go down. But then in those years down, there's like... a flood of so many, just like with the slasher, just like with anything. And as the years go on, into the decades go on, you look back at these from these years and these strange ones that get put out, and you get more excited a lot of times about some of these than some of the bigger ones.
Yeah, I mean, this is all the... I mean, this is like a... What a time, 1978, in terms of like sleaze. Like, this is a... 5 gold chains on a hairy chest with some ham-like hands covered in gold rings, unbuttoned shirts.
Some definite Italian misogyny.
Leather shoes. Yes, just people. Like, it wouldn't even occur to them not to, like, slap an ass as they walk by. You know what I mean? Hand slapping an ass.
Or just like,
and nobody batting an eye.
Just like call a woman, just like, you slut.
Like, yeah, just like in the way that people don't now. Yeah.
But then like also like you're friends with it. Like, and then like it's not like you're not the evil character, right?
It's like the cop that's doing it. Yeah, I mean, it's really, It is a judgmental place, 1978. But then in some ways,
not, right? It's like it's that great combination.
The culture was different, Mike. It was a different time. It was a different place.
Sure was.
Through the ever-evolving stream of time and morality, this is a strange place, and it made a strange film. So if I'm just going to sum it up real quick, we have Christine, and she is 16. No, she's 16.
She is 16.
In my mind, I was like, I'm going to scale
or
it up.
Or she's 16 or 18?
No, she's fucking 16. Or wait, we know. Lily, we watched.
I was about to say.
She's 18.
Lily's 16.
Okay, yeah.
I'm reading Lolita. Hey, everybody.
How are we stumbling into this? This is insane. Yeah, so the Leslie Caron movie and Mel Ferrer, strange, bleak film. Lily, I've always called it Lily. And I don't know why. I think it's because it's one of those things where I just, you know, kind of read it in a vacuum. Let me read the description for Lily. 1954, a naive orphaned waif brings love to a bitter puppeteer and life to his marionettes in a French carnival. So that is Lily. And so it's
apparently
fantastic.
Apparently we are in a strange zone. I just
yeah, she's 16. Yeah. Really are. Okay. So. Well, so that was 54, so accounting for inflation. Then we get the 18-year-old in this one because the age inflation exists. Look, my aunt got married when she was 12.
Hey, man, things are different.
It's a different time. And is it my great aunt? My great aunt. I lied. My great aunt and my great uncle, she was 12. He was 18. Anyway, I digress. So... this 18-year-old is living with her two parents in Rome. And, you know, they're not super well off, but they're quite well to do. I would say they're, what do you think, Mike? Upper middle class in Rome, which means far more money than we will ever have in our lives.
That's true.
And, you know, she decides it's time to make it out on her own. She wants more than the allowance her father gives her. Her clothes are 2 years old. She just needs to find out. She wants to pluck the apple off the tree of life. And essentially, she wants more money. And how is she going to get more money? Well, she's going to move in with her friend and offer her services as a masseuse. And she is certain that she will be rolling in dough in no time. And she's not wrong.
Moving in with her hot friend. And our girl.
Did I need to say that?
A hot redhead. Hey, I think the listeners know how I feel.
Yeah, but this is still that time where it's before everybody's like, I mean, there's still plastic surgery for sure, but everybody's very like individual looking and there's like a variety of types of people. Like, I like that her, like, the lady that she moves in with is like a little thicker. You know what I mean? Like, she's not a size 2. She's like a size 8. You know what I mean?
They're looking great to me.
Like, they're perfect. Fan. This whole film is just like that premise. I mean, that's pretty much the premise. And then she starts, you know, giving her massages. And then they're not really massages.
They're cock massages.
So she's giving her cock massages.
She immediately, it's not even like she dives right in. So let me
I was just going to finish summing it up.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
Well, I but then people die.
Oh,
I didn't
right.
say that part. You know what I mean? That's all I need to know. So she goes out, and as everybody, she gives the massage to vaginally. Then they start dying after she leaves.
All their Johns start dying.
Their throats are slit. I mean, not the one where she had to massage the guy's mom, but the ones that she actually, like, you know, finished the massage with, as it were. They start dying, and that's the mystery, right, Mike? That is the mystery that they were aiming for.
Yeah. So I'll say up right here, if you're looking for a giallo with atmosphere, with tension, with a couple thrills, a couple maybe get you creeped out a little bit, gets under your skin a little bit, some really violent and elaborate murders, a real twisty turny mystery. This is not the giallo for you. This has none of that.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely devoid of all of that.
And like, odds are you're gonna guess who this mysterious killer is.
Yes, yeah. Like, it's the mystery is very thin.
You're gonna have like three options, and it's definitely one of those three. We won't spoil it for you, but it's not really a surprise.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry about the spoil.
That's not the point of this film.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Were you looking for the cast? You started reading, like we're having a podcast, and you're just like, I'm going to read a little bit.
I was looking at the back of the
I have the IMDb pulled up if you'd like to see everybody's names. You can hold the phone. I don't want to hold it to you.
Name of the great guy who is Oscar, who is also from New York Ripper.
He's a businessman, Mike. He's not a pimp.
And Oscar is my favorite character in the movie, male character in the movie. He's got his charm. Howard Ross, thank you, is his name, and he is in New York Ripper as well as some others. He's so great in the movie. This movie does also have, like, there is definitely a comedic element to this movie.
Well, it's outlandish in its own way, but I think that it's, I like the sensuality, the romanticism, the gratuitousness. It's kind of doing, like, I think what this film is setting out to do is just be like eye candy, beautiful, titillating, and murderous, right? And I think it does all of those things.
Yeah.
So every place that Christine goes to, including
Christina,
her home,
by the way.
Christina. Everything is just opulent, like it's covered in gorgeous wallpaper,
of course,
tapestries.
Wallpaper.
Wonderful more fur rugs than you can count on all your fingers and toes. You know what I mean? Like, and she's got furs. And even that was part of it. Like, mom and dad are like, we provided you with clothes and furs. And I'm just like, that's a great thing to say when somebody's leaving. Like, but I gave you furs. Like, everybody's got furs. I mean, like, there's not a single person in this film that doesn't have furs. You know what I mean? Like, it's fantastic. So it has that going for it. And, oh, yeah, whenever she moves in with her friend, she says, without money, you're nobody.
Yeah, so she just wants that money. She wants money, money,
money, money, money, money. So if we're talking about, okay, who your favorite character is, we could go through it. So she does meet a guy at some point who calls her number and is like, I can arrange for you to meet some really affluent men.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when her luck turns. Yeah.
Yeah, I like
it. So essentially she goes to her first call, and there's this guy who has this fantastic room, and all the equipment he needs to cultivate his fitness body is within that room. And she's like, okay, let me go get ready. And she always takes off her clothes and then comes out kind of covered modestly in a scarf, right? And then he's like, let me go get mama. And then he brings his mama in. He's like, hey, she's going to need a massage every day.
Yeah. Like, because she advertises as a masseuse, but he gets her actually to be a masseuse.
And she's like, wait, I'm doing this all wrong. So I think that's hilarious.
Yeah. So, but because I'm saying she's just ready to bang. She's like, no, I'm.
No, she's like, no, I actually don't want to massage anybody.
It's not like, see, you would think a movie like this would be like, she is going to be a massage, and she gets to her first client, and they're like, actually, if you could make more money doing this. No, she's like, oh, no,
I'm not here to massage you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I could be a massage. It would hurt my hands, I think. Yeah. Maybe it'd be fun.
I like the second guy she gets, though, because he's the guy who's like, after they bang, he's like, you know, you're not very good.
Oh, like, yeah. He said, you're a good product, but the packaging is all wrong.
And again, it like doesn't.
He's like, you weren't that good. He's like, I could tell you're not like a professional.
And like, it doesn't.
You haven't done this
much. And like, she's not really like offended. She sort of like takes the notes.
She's like, okay, I'll get better.
Like,
no, I know. They're such assholes. All these guys just treat her like shit.
She's just sort of like, oh, okay, I'll work on it. You're right. Yeah, I'm not that good.
This is funny. I was just thinking of everybody I've known that has gotten like a degree in massage or whatever you do, a certification, you know, because they have to put in certain hours. Mike, have you ever known anybody who became a masseuse and then stayed a masseuse?
I don't really think I know anyone who is a masseuse, and I'm.
When we were younger, we knew a shitload. I can think of four.
I don't know. I mean, off the top of my head, I'm not a.
Not including Kendra from Girls Next Door.
I'm not. I'm gonna count her now. I've never had a massage, and I have no intention. I'm not a fan. I don't like. I don't. Yeah, as I mean, maybe I've stated this on record, but I mean, I know you know. I don't like it.
Well, I hope you don't mind me saying that you're ticklish.
Incredibly.
I am. That seems very ticklish. Yeah. Which gets me out of massaging all the time. I don't have to massage you. It's like, I know you're really in pain if you want
to
massage.
I transfer it all to you.
I appreciate it. I
transfer it all to you.
I am not ticklish.
And I may, Mr. Ticklish? Terry, do I provide? Do I provide?
You do provide. You do provide. That's why I don't need to go get professional
Gents,
massages.
Anyone
I have
out
one
there?
Right here.
Anyone out there doing the no-fap so they can get a chick?
Give her a massage.
No-fap and then work on your massage technique. You're golden. That's all they. That's
you're
all
good.
They
you're
want.
All set. Well, I've had two massages. One from a friend who was going through massage school, and then while I was getting a massage, she didn't tell me that her parking lot needed a permit, and my car got towed. Remember that in Michigan?
Ah, yeah.
I know
I
it's been so long.
That.
And then the other time, I went with your mom, Mike, and it was fun.
Oh, that's
she,
right.
She got me. We all went with your sister and your mom, and we all went to a spa. And I had a massage. It was like, and I felt like that was my real first one as an adult, like not as a weird young person from somebody you know, like just, you know, drinking a lot of beer and getting a massage.
Yeah.
Getting all oiled up with your gal pals.
Well, hey, nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, that was, I enjoyed it. And it was funny when she was like, what type of pressure do you like? And I'm like, I haven't done this before, but I would imagine hard as you got, like painful level. And she was like, are you sure? And then she didn't. I was like, yeah, that's great. That's my pressure level. Everything you got, I want it. Give it to me. Just like Christina.
One thing I really like about this movie is the couple scenes at the racetrack. As if any listeners know, we do enjoy the horse races.
God, to go to an Italian race.
And as I've said a million times, the two places we want to go back to, Italy and Japan, I want to go to the racetrack at both of these countries. But this really made me want to go to an Italian racetrack. It looks so fun.
Yeah, we love the track. And when we just went to Santa Anita, I tried a new thing. I know you go to the live teller, Mike, and I enjoy that, but I wanted to know how to use the screen. Because I wanted that skill, right?
Yeah, I'm
just
alive.
In case.
I like to go to the live.
I know.
I like
well,
person.
I want to keep the live people in business, so I appreciate that. But I did also enjoy the screen. That was really, really fun for me. And you don't have to like have it in your head what you're doing before you get up there. It does lend the thing where you can just be like, that one, boop. You know what I mean? Otherwise, when you're talking to the guy at the screen,
you won every race but one. So I
think that's happened both times.
Yeah.
But I am miserable at betting, so
somehow
can win
you still
every race, and I come out like $5 ahead. If you count, because I bought
well,
coffee
it's,
and
it's
hot
all
dogs.
Just fun. We're not going to
hot dogs.
You know, try to you know
coffee,
pay rent or anything.
Sugar free Red Bull. I mean, you're at the track. When you're at the track, you gotta have a sugar free Red Bull. Anyway, yeah, we're not trying to bet the rent here. We're talking $2 to $5. You know what I mean? We're talking $2 to $5, which is fun for me, but I should go more, right?
Well,
let's get well.
It'll be back open
in
September.
We can do some online horse betting today, maybe. So Oscar's your favorite. He said she wasn't very good. She's new. Packaging's all wrong. She's definitely nagging her. He's nagging her hard. He's not a pimp. He's a businessman. But the first guy he gets her really is my favorite guy. I like the guy who looks like he would be in Coil. In a white caftan.
He's got
a gold Scorpio necklace.
70s mystic. Probably was into some Crowley.
Oh my God. Yes.
You know, he's got the Book of the Law. You know,
fucking
like,
love it. He's kind of like.
Might have the Satanic Bible.
Aging like shit. Just balding. Wearing like thick square glasses. And then he puts her in a sexy kimono. And I'm like, oh, this man's got a color TV. You know what? He's like dripping in it. And then he's got like this just like comb over for days. Like, you know, when you see the like comb over, like covering the scalp and the scalp is shining through. It's fantastic. He was my absolute favorite. And he just wanted to like talk to her and worship her and seduce
her. Give her a bubble bath.
Give her a fucking bubble bath. This is
king.
Didn't
even bang.
They go into the pink bathroom. I'm going to flip my pillow because I'm sweaty. Didn't even bang. He just wanted to like watch her and like that's great. Like I love all these guys that she's seeing. So yeah, that poor guy. Man, he was great. So he was my favorite of all the guys. Sorry, I know you love Oscar.
Oscar. We got Oscar the whole time. You know, this guy gets killed. You know, he's here and he's gone.
And then Oscar, we also get to see that he lives life on the edge and he messes around with bookies because this other guy, there is kind of another like. I'm not saying a red herring, but another storyline in it that all these guys kind of use the same bookie and maybe they owe money. So even though they're affluent, like, that's probably how Oscar knows them, right? Because they're all betting at the same betting hall and using the same bookie.
They play a very strange game in that I've never seen.
Yes, the game they're playing, it's like the, I mean, I guess Parcheesi is Italian. I don't know. Do you remember Parcheesi, Mike?
Of course,
game? So they use the little pieces from Parcheesi in the middle of a pool table, and they have a red ball and a white ball, and they roll the pool ball to knock over the Parcheesi pieces, which, is this a thing? I should have looked it up. I meant to look it up, didn't do it. But that's how these guys gamble. That is their gambling kink. That is their game of choice, is knocking over Parcheesi pieces with a pool ball. And you know what? I'd say there's worse things you can do. It's a quick game. It's fun. Looks good. I wonder how much dough they're throwing down for that. And then another John that she goes to has one of my favorite. Oh, yeah. That other guy was a professor. Has one of my favorite decorative items. And that is.
What is that?
I love. Like marble grapes and glass grapes that used to sit around all the time. Like, I've been looking for these lately. My grandma had some grapevines that, like, hung over the kitchen.
And we had some for a while. I think they just...
Yeah, like, where do they go? I wanted them so bad. And they were glass, and they were clear. And there was a light bulb in the middle, and they were green and
purple. I
feel
like it's one of those things that... In like the last day of moving, there's a handful of things that we've gotten rid of, where we're like, why did we get rid of that?
Yes. Like, those were so cool. Yeah. Like, why the fuck didn't we have those?
They might have, they were lights as well, so they could have died. Yeah. It's possible that that's, but I just remember when you said that, I'm like, where did those go?
But where did my grandma's big ones go, though?
I don't know.
Huge, but they weighed like 50 pounds. So anyway, she also had. Oh, God, I was just thinking about her decor. She also had one of those fountains that had, like, a gold statue in the middle, and then the oil would drip down the clear thing, so it looked like it was, like, raining all the time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like a little statue, and then it looks like they're in a little, I don't know what that's called, gazebo made of gold. And then it'll have, like, little strings, and then you put oil in it, and the oil runs down the string, so it looks like it's raining all the time. It's like an oil fountain. Like, ooh. I mean, oil fountains
sounds
like
something
you need
to
have, right? I know, I love it.
You know what I mean?
Oh, she also had a king-size bed.
Sounds like you and I could have a good time with an oil fountain and a king-size bed.
And a king-size water bed.
Sounds like you and I could have a good time in a king-size water bed and an oil fountain.
I know, right? And it had, listen, she had... blue satin sheets.
Sounds like
she had a blue satin sheets, and the comforter was like dark blue and baby blue on one side, and it was also satin. Every pillow was satin, and there was
around, like
a mirrored wall. Like, oh, it was so cool. God, I used to love it. And then she would let me stay in her room, and I'd be like, oh, I was like, I'm a princess in my king size waterbed. It was fantastic, Mike. I loved it. Anyway, this guy, that's sort of decorating that all these guys have. And it's primo stuff. Like, I love it. You don't see it anymore. We are all suffering because this type of decorating has gone away. And I mourn the loss of this sort of decor. And I hope that the world goes back to beauty, turns back to beauty instead of this bleak.
Just nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nothingness. Yeah. Modern.
Everywhere you walk
art
into.
Brute. Ugh. Sort of. Fucking
bring back
room.
Old McDonald's, you know what I mean? Like everything looks
decor.
Like new McDonald's. Bring back old Wendy's. Bring back old McDonald's.
Floor,
come
at least
on,
a fucking tile. Jesus Christ, maybe a tile wall. I'll take any of it. Anyway, this is great. So we just get to see pretty much the mystery is, who does she get to bang next? Who's Christina get to bang next? What type of shirts are Pimp gonna wear? Is it gonna be leather or none?
Or like a big chunky sweater. Like a fur jacket that fits like a jean jacket. Like, I've never seen a fur jacket like
buckles.
That. Like, it's like, it was like a form-fitting fur.
It's
the strangest
weird. I know.
Thing I've
never
seen
anything like it. It's like a fur shirt is the only way I could explain it. Like a casual fur shirt. And it came off very casual. And truly, I mean, that kind of, like, this is, like, the washing over you. And when they're talking about the money, it's, like, 50,000 lira, 50 million, a million lira, 100,000 lira. And you're just like, I don't know if this is $10 or $50 million. Like, I have no clue. And that kind of adds to, like, just the experience of this film is just, like, it's confounding. You don't know how much money they're talking about. The things they're doing don't necessarily make sense. Like, even when she goes to one John's place,
he's always in the other room.
She always goes to their room, she undresses, she comes back, and he starts putting shoes on her feet and having her walk back and forth. You know what I mean? They're just imagining, like, what would this beautiful redheaded perfect, by the way. Gorgeous, gorgeous woman. This, I think her real name is Paola in real life.
No, Paola's the roommate.
No, Paola is also the actress's name, is what I'm telling you.
Oh.
Maybe. Yeah, you don't have to read it. I'm right. You don't have to read it. I'm right. Paola Senatore. I'm pretty sure that's right. Wouldn't that be funny if I was just so confident? Well, now look, my confidence is wrecked. I negged myself. Let's see if I was right.
I love when you're confident.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Paola Senatore. Yeah, I'm fucking right. Look at me. Yee.
Good job. I didn't look that up.
So, I didn't look it up. See here, I took
images
notes.
Images in a Convent. That's another movie.
See,
she's
I took
in.
The notes
good.
And I wrote it down.
You're,
at the
look,
beginning.
I don't
at the beginning, because I
am big brained and I'm smooth brained.
Well, you know what? I'm not. But the thing is, I like writing things down because then I can reference them, because I can't keep them in my mind because I'm constantly thinking about defrauding monks
and passion fruit.
What type of fruit I'm going to try next, and what the hell I'm going to do with it, and will I eat it? Like, and
is that a rat sound?
Like the pressure.
Track,
like, did I buy a nectarine in vain? I'm already, like, this morning, I was like, when am I going to eat that nectarine? I'm going to wake up really early tomorrow, and the nectarine's probably going to be prime. I'm going to eat that nectarine in the afternoon and not the morning. Like, what am I going to do? I'm, like, trying to plan my life around the right
days
have fruit.
We don't have a early wake up tomorrow.
Oh, so fuck, yes. I don't. Okay, so then I can... We will be eating the nectarine tomorrow, Mike. I have already planned it. I've sniffed it. I judged its ripeness level. A second passion fruit will also be ripe this evening or tomorrow morning. I think we're in the perfect window. The grapefruit's going to keep. So, like, the pressure's off. We can just lean back and relax. We can just call Christina up.
Call her up.
We can offer 50,000 lira.
Get on over here.
Be like, what is that?
Let's
I don't
have a
know.
Good time.
I'm not even going to look up an exchange rate.
We're just going to dole out that lira.
There's lira in her eyes.
Come on over, baby.
Well, you know, it's great. And yes, then we reach a point when we see this one home and there's like the guy has, I don't know, 50 type of animals. And I meant to
crazy.
Look up and the thing he sleeps under is the hide of this type of like deer. And I can't remember. Is it an ibex? Is it an impala?
I'm calling it an ibex.
It could be an ibex. Is that real stripey one? And I know that it's like in the plains of Africa. And I can't remember what it's fucking called. I meant to look it up. Ugh, I'll do that after we record. Everybody shout it out right now. What is it? It's not an ibex. It's not an impala. It's the other one with the stripes. But it's not a zebra. Don't fuck with it. I know what a zebra is. It's like kind of like a lovely like auburn and white stripe. And they have these gorgeous long horns. And they leap into the air. And they look very cool. I think the Lion King, like the live performance, has them running around everywhere. I digress. It's great. The guy's got one of those. And it's definitely really that animal's hide. Because these are like for real Italian 1978. They're not like worried about like having an authentic fur. They're like, but it's endangered. They're it is now.
yeah.
Certo.
Yeah. They're
like,
fine.
Oh, good. I got the last one.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a time. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. There's a cool reveal in the end.
Yeah, there's. Oh, by the way, this is a giallo. I don't know if anyone's noticed that.
People, I mean, basically, she
people
bangs
die, but even the murders are not. They're not like you barely see anything, and it's just a slit throat with
somebody
a razor.
Somebody in a trench coat just slits. And you know what? Giallos make you think like it's really easy to slit a throat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I feel like it would not be.
Or like Last Slumber
really
Party.
Horrible. I don't want to
you know.
Do that.
Last Lumber Party. If you slit a throat, sometimes the blood starts coming out before it hits the skin.
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes out. Sometimes you do the full slit and then it starts shooting out later. Like,
yeah, it's a lot. It's a complicated
We've
process.
Learned a lot through our journey in underground espionage, watching how to slit throats, how, you know, how many lira for an Italian prostitute.
What's offensive to offer, what's not.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Don't know what how much money they are.
Yeah.
How much money?
If you go to a rich house and the woman offers you a tour around the house, you're probably going to bang.
Yeah, well, okay, if she offers you a tour around and then you go into a private room and sit down on a couch together, then you definitely are. But if she, like, puts you up in a room and leaves you alone for a minute, you're going to get murdered.
There you go. These
so
are things we learned.
They're really, you know.
That we want you, the Underground Espionage listener, to take heed.
Yeah, and if you're like, hey, you guys kind of fizzled out there at the end of this film, like, what else happened?
The
film
kind of fizzled
out. You know,
I mean, look,
it's over before you even know it. It's fantastic. Like, I recommend it. And I think that, Mike, in your fevered state, it was, I wanted to pick one that was like a little confusing, possibly. Yeah. But a lot sleazy.
Yeah.
Fun to look at. Possibly a little nonsensical, like, in terms of plot. Like, not like, you're not going to be, like, trying to make it make sense and really thinking about it too much. You're not going to think about this plot too much.
There you go. I would actually say it's actually less confusing only because it's very, like...
very straightforward.
It's very straightforward. There's really no twists and turns.
She's leaving her parents' house because she wants money. She becomes a lady of the night. I like the term lady of the night.
I like prostitute.
I like lady of the night because it's... No, but it's elegant. Lady of the night.
Yeah.
Like, I like the...
Anything but sex worker. Yeah. We're a prostitute... Hooker, lady of the night.
Yeah, I mean the sex...
Professional.
A professional.
Yeah, oldest profession.
Lady of the night. I like it because it seems the most elegant. Like, it's like lady of the night. You picture kind of like a sparkly dress and, like, you know, maybe like very much scarves, chiffon, hair, makeup, sparkles. Lady of the night.
I'm into it. Well, yeah, no, this is just a totally brain dead, like, again, no mystery, no atmosphere, no tension. Like, don't be going into this one thinking you're watching the next Strange Vices Mrs. Ward or...
Oh, you know. yeah, no, there's no, it's not, yeah, you're not going to be, like, recalculating the mystery. I got to watch that again to see what happened, you know.
Yeah, I just want to watch it again because it's, like, yeah, a it's fun thing to great. Put on. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fantastic. I love it. I love yeah. her hair. I love... There's so many beautiful green eyes in this film, like the greenest.
I really want to. The roommate, great eyes. I mean, I was a big fan of the roommate. As much as I'm a redhead,
solidarity. I was a fan of every single person in this film.
Yeah,
I loved it.
There you go.
I liked her mom too. You know what?
Yeah.
I like an older lady who just shoots herself in the face with a makeup gun and is just like, I'm gonna put these rings around my swollen fingers and just keep going. And like that's my vibe. Why not?
I mean, Tara, that is definitely
I can't wear
you.
Rings. Yeah, I know.
But also, you're not, like, you don't have, like, swollen, you're not, like, a swollen mess with the shooting a makeup.
But I also can't wear rings, so.
That's true. That's why we are, our minimal tattooing is our wedding.
You know, I'm too allergic.
Well, I enjoyed our conversation today, Tara. We will be back next week again. You know, we've been bad about planning and letting you guys know what we're doing. It's just how things go. But look, you're along for the ride now. We're in episode 21. Our podcast can drink legally. You know, so we're...
Oh, yeah,
you're
that's
just,
right.
You're just rolling
in terms
with
of
us.
Weeks.
You're just rolling
like
with
podcast
us.
Podcast is like a week is a year.
Exactly. Well, so, you know, obviously it'll be something good. You know how we do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say something like, got any suggestions, hit us up. And then I kind of heard Mike in my head being like, you don't need to do that.
We have gotten a lot of great suggestions. No. I do appreciate the suggestions.
No,
and,
I appreciate
and it
people.
It actually is nice.
I appreciate people and I like hearing from them. And like, I truly like,
yeah.
You know, there's a possibility that we have been in and out of good and bad moods all week. So thank you for being with us right now and doing this and interacting with
this is
you
what we this
are
is,
the that's like the good part
truly what we
that's the
what
joy
we look forward to all yeah. week so yeah this is always something that it's never a chore. It's just the only chore sometimes actually carving out the schedule.
Yes.
It's the only chore, but it's not a chore in any way. It's like it's never like, oh god.
And hearing from you wonderful people
is
fantastic.
It's awesome.
So thank you.
Absolutely.
Like, truly appreciate you.
Absolutely. All right, well, continue to support the underground. We'll talk to you next week.